Okay. Thank you all for your patience. All right, 702. Hopefully, I didn't take that much of your time. We find ourselves, my friends, on Yud Ches Amid Beis, 18b. We're on 18b. And as you can see, since we're just doing the Gemara, we get off easy. So we're going to naturally make some headway into Yud Ches Amid Aleph as well. That way the shiur doesn't end within 2 minutes, right? So, okay. In the previous shiur, we had a machlokis between Abaye and Rava about the following case. So you remember there's a case in the Mishnah in which there's a structure, a building, which is in the shape of a U, so three walls, and then it has the exedra, it has the porch, which is jutting out. Now, the porch is not kosher for schach. Even if it's made from inherently kosher material, it's way too thick and it's not going to work. And the Mishnah had said that if the exedra is less than 4 amos, then we say dofen akuma. But if it's more than 4 amos, what kind of recourse do we have? So this is what we might have. So we said that, you know what? Why don't we? Okay, I'll just summarize. So Abaye and Rava had a machlokas. What happens if you put these pitzimen? What if? Not that you put these pitzimen, to hold up the exedra, to hold up the porch, there's columns that are holding it up. So can these columns form a wall? So everyone agrees that if there are, at least in this version of the Gemara, we're going to see a different version of the discussion toward the end. Everyone agrees that if there are pitzimen, these columns that are within 3 tefachim of each other, similar to how you have a fence, the bars are all within 3 tefachim, it forms a wall. It can be used for enclosures on Shabbos as well. But they had a debate, what happens when you don't have these walls? So Rava said, you're out of luck. Abaye said that actually we have this principle called Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosim, that the thickness of the upper bar there, which is holding up the schach, can actually, we view it as coming down and enclosing the entire area. Now, you can imagine this is a bit of a tough pill to swallow. So Rava naturally rejects it. And that's where we pick up our discussion in the middle of Yud Ches Amid Beis, Lema Abaye v'Rava. So what the Gemara does many times is that when you have a machlokas in one generation, we start scratching our heads and saying, wait a minute, wasn't this a dispute that was that happened earlier as well? Or maybe it's at least akin to another machlokas somewhere that we're aware of. So Lema Abaye v'Rava plucked the Rav Shmuel k'miflagi. Maybe the machlokas Abaye and Rav are having about whether we could use Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosim, good achis, and pretend that there are these conceptual walls that are coming down. Maybe this is the same machlokas that Shmuel and Rav have in the context of Hilchos Shabbos. Right? We do a lot. We do that all the time. It's nothing new. We compare the laws of Shabbos and Sukkah all the time. We have a migu actually, which we'll talk about in the rush toward the end. So Lema by Verava plucked the Rav Shmuel k'miflagi. Maybe it's the same machlokas to Itmar. In the context of Hilchos Shabbos, you want to have an enclosed area because you have an enclosed area you could carry in it. Or it's just a yachid. So achsadra bebika. Let's say you have this kind of structure. You forgive me. I didn't bring my picture gemara with me, but maybe perhaps Art Scroll maybe provides one for you. So there's you have the same kind of situation where you have that achsadra. You have that overhang. In the valley, meaning just in a general flat area, Rav Amar Mutar Tata Bakula, since it's considered to be enclosed, you could carry around that whole area. Damrinam Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosim, which is a Bai Shita. Bai says that we can view the wool as coming down. Ushmul Amar Ematalton Ba Elbadan Amos, Damrinam Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosim. No, you could only carry within 4 amos, meaning, in other words, you're not allowed to carry it. In general, when we say you're not allowed to carry something, it means you're not allowed to carry something more than the 4 amos that you find it in. So, because we don't say Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosim. So it seems really clean right now. It sounds like the Machlokas Rav and Abaye in the context of Hilchos Sukkah is really, in principle, the same Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel in Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, seems very nice. However, we don't necessarily have to line it up that way. We can make things a little bit more complicated. Now, Aliba the Shmuel Kuli Amalo Pligin. Now, it's very clear that according to Shmuel, Abaye is not going to be in line, in step with Shmuel. Shmuel says that we do not say Pitik or Yovis Sosim in this case in Shabbos. That fits nicely with Rava, and it's against Abaye. No arguments over there. We know where Shmuel stands when it comes to Sukkah. Ki pligi, but perhaps there we could still say that both Abaye and Rava would disagree, even within Shitas Rav. Ki pligi but the Rav. So Abaye Karav. Now Abaye naturally sides with Rav. He's his most obvious ally because they both say Pi Tikra Yoriv Vesosim. Rav in Hilchos Shabbos, Abaye in Sukkah. Varava Amar Lacha, Akalo Amar Rav, Hosam Eldam Avidi, Lo. There's a fundamental difference between the case in Hilchos Shabbos and the case in Sukkah. In the case in Shabbos, we would say Pi Tikra Yoriv Vesosim because that aksadra, that overhang there is made, the different parts of that structure is made to enclose that which is within. But in the case of the aksadra in Sukkah, where you just have a porch, what was the porch made for? The porch is made to service the building, that U-shaped building. It's not those that wasn't put there for the sake of creating an enclosure to create a sukkah. So maybe we only apply the principle of Pi Tikra Yoriv Vesosim when the structure that's in place was put there for the deliberate purpose of enclosing the area within. So the case in Hilchos Shabbos, Rava could even concede that we would say Pi Tikra Yoriv Vesosim. But when it comes to sukkah, at least in our case, we would not say Pi Tikra Yoriv Vesosim because the aksadra was not made to enclose that area between it, but rather it was just made as an extension of the structure that is on the outside of the sukkah. So that is how we can make things a little bit more complicated. And I think it's always just very instructive, because it always looks like two people could be in agreement on something, but if you get to the heart of how they reach their conclusions, you could see the nuances and how they might not agree on certain issues the same way you might think. It's always fascinating. Okay. Everything we said last week and everything we said up until now, vis-a-vis Abaye and Rava, Besura Masi Lahashmaisa Bahailishna. This was how, this is a theme we're seeing. This is how it went down in Surah. This is how they recorded the Machlokas in Surah. But Bepumbadisa, where there was another major yeshiva, Masni Sichich al Gabe Achsadr She'ela Petzimen Divrei HaKol Pesula. So let me just say this outside maybe before seeing it more inside. In the previous version of the Gemara, everyone, basically, we had a machlokas. Everyone agreed that if you have the pitzimen, you have the columns within three tefachim of each other. Both Rav and Abaye agree it works. Even Rav is okay. The machlokas was when there is no pitzimen, do we say Pi Tikra Yoriv Vesosim? Now the Gemara is saying, no, actually, if there's no pitzimen, there's no discussion. The whole machlokas Abaye and Rava is not about Pi Tikra Yoriv Vesosim. It's only about whether we apply lavud when there are pitzimen. Yeshla Petzimen, Abaye Amar Kishera, Rav Amar Psula. Abaye says it's good, Rav says it's bad. Okay, well, Abaye is very easy to figure out. Abaye Amar Kishera, Amri and Lavud. Well, all the Petzimen are within three tefachim of each other. So we apply Lavud. No major chiddush over here. But the question that we have to ask is, why is Lavud not good enough for Rava? So it's going to be the same principle we saw earlier. Rav Amar Psula, Lo Amri and Lavud. Now, why don't we say Lavud? So Rashi says, "Dibar Maslav Rava Mar Psula." The lavud you can try to find if you want. It's further down in the Yama. The lavud la mechitzahi el halach moshe misina gemirila. Because what is lavud? Lavud isn't naturally a wall on its own. There's gaps in the wall. The only reason we regard these two tzimen as being connected is due to a special halacha moshe misina. A deus ex machina, if you will. So then the question is, when does this halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai apply? So Rashi says, same idea as before in the Gemara. Rashi's inferring from there. that when is halacha mishum yisina of lavud work? Similar to what we said, pitur kriyor v'sosin. When the lavud is connecting something that was put down for a certain purpose. Again, we run to that same issue. The petsimin now are not put down for the purpose of creating a sukkah. They're not put in that U-shape to enclose the area between them. The petsimin are there to hold up the exedra structure, which is part of the building, which is outside of the sukkah. So the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, a quirk in it, is that lavud will only work to create an enclosure if the physical parts of that fence or enclosement are meant to actually enclose the inner part that you intended for, as opposed to enclosing the building area, which is on the outside. I'm sorry I can't point to a picture in front of me, but either you have it in your mind or you flip the page somewhere in Art Scroll, I think they give you a nice picture of it. Make sense? It's the same principle again. It has to be, these halachot which we've seen as Rava say, come with a big asterisk, that it needs to be for the intended purpose of the structure. That's where the halachot which we've seen as helps us. Okay. And then the Gemara tells us, the Hilchos HaKlishin HaKama, but forget everything we just learned within the past 5 minutes. Really, the original machlokus is what is accepted. So the original machlokus again was that everyone agreed that when there are pitzimen, it is kosher. And Rava only says when there's no pitzimen, then we don't say pitikri or vitzosin. We pass like Rava. So which means, it would seem, the Gemara is telling us, halacha lemaisa, that if you have pitzimen that are within three tfachim of each other, you can use lavud. But if you don't have pitzimen, we would not say pitik or yored v'sosin. Okay. At least when it comes to sukkah. Maybe Shabbos would be different, or maybe it's not fundamentally different between Shabbos and sukkah, but it's about the intention again. Okay. Very good. Story time. No, not really. It's not much of an agadita. Just an instance that brings out the halakhic ruling. Don't get too excited. Right? Remember when we did Megillah, we had all the stories that had, you know, remember we went for blot after blot after blot of like story time with Maseches Megillah. So, all right. So let's do this. Ravashi Ashkeche L'Rav Kahana to Komesachich Agabe Achsadra. So Ravashi saw Rav Kahana was doing basically what we discussed in the Gemara. He put Schach on top of an Achsadra. She'ein la pitzimen, that did not have the pitzimen, did not have those columns. Ooh, this is a big no-no, because we just paskined, like Rava, who says that you need the pitzimen. So how is it a kosher sukkah then? Where are your walls? So Amar Le, Los of Amar, Had Amar Rava, Yesha pitzimen kashera, Ein la pitzimen psula. You don't have pitzimen, how is it a kosher sukkah? So the case here is, there's already two clear walls, and the question is, how does he get to a third wall? So one opinion is, Chavile, near mibifnim, ushava mibachutz. You can see it on the inside, but on the outside, you know, from the outside perspective, you would not see that additional part of the wall. Okay, so as long as from the inside you see three walls, you should be fine. The next part of the Gemara is going to require more explanation. We'll learn the Rush in a moment, but let's just read it first. Inami, near mi bachutz, ushava mi bifnim. It's equal, you know, you don't really see, it's kind of like built into the wall of the house that it's by, or the achsadra that it's by, from the inside perspective. But from the outside, you can see that there's a wall, there's at least a tefach, which is jutting kind of behind the sukkah. So you're going to ask, why does that work? And it works because it is a lechi. Now, let's remind ourselves. Anyone remember what a lechi is? So a lechi is...
For the Eruv.
Very good. So Phyllis says, you know, it's funny. We use the term lechi today when we're talking about like the telephone wires. So right when we use the telephone wires to create a Tzuras HaPesach, sometimes the wires are not passing over the pole, so we need to make a lechi, so that way you have the, you know, you have the basically the mashkof, the mezuzah, and you have the tzuras at Pesach. So what's going on? But here, this is very odd, because I don't need a lechi, right? What's the point of a lechi? A lechi is when you have, let's say, a mavoi, okay? We've talked about mavoi many times, and we'll continue talking about it. A mavoi is this alleyway, for lack of a better term, and it is like, it leads into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So we want to make it clear that the mavoi is a distinct domain, and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin is the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, and you don't just carry from one to the other. So you have two options. You can either put a pole on top called a korah, or you can put a lechi, which is just another pole, maybe could be even thinner than a pole, which would be on the side, which would remind you not to carry between the mavoi and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So what's the point of a lechi? Well, the lechi actually is only there as a symbol. You see, a mavoi already has three walls. The alleyway has the three walls already. But here, in this case of, what was his name, Rav Ashi, visiting Rav Kahana, the sukkah only has two walls, and we need a third wall. So how does it help to put the third wall kind of like behind it, in which it doesn't really enclose the sukkah? What's going on over here? So this is what we're going to explain. Let me flip to the rush. It won't be in the back of the art scrolls, I'm willing to bet. But let me just, where did I put my bookmark? Right, I think it's worth it for me to read the Lashon of the Rush. It's nice to see the actual Lashon. You see, these Ozahadar Gemaras, they put so much in the back, it's hard to locate anything. Because they Baruch Hashem, they pack it with so much. Ah, here we are. Okay. So the Rush asks as follows. Ukasha, ma inyan mavoi lesukka. What is the comparison between a mavoi, which only requires a lechi, and a sukkah? But mavoi ika gimel mechitzos v'lo ba'inan lechi el kira ba'alma. The lechi is not creating another wall. We already have your three walls. You just need it there as a symbol to remind you not to carry in between. Hilkuch sagi benir mi b'chus ha'shami b'fnim to akira kol du sagi. So there, it's enough if the lechi can only be seen on the outside, and not on the inside, we could say that's sufficient because it's not there to make a wall. Aval besukka, dofen shlishi tzarech liyosli yoshi besukka. If you're sitting inside the sukkah, you need to be enclosed by three walls. If I don't see a third wall there, there's no third wall. Sukkah shtei defanos. All I have is two walls. Now you might think to say, v'chi tema dabri amigu demahani l'shabbos, Mahani Nami Lusukkah. So maybe the same way this works when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos for a Mavoi, we had this Migu we learned, I think it was on Dav Zayin, maybe somewhere around there. So we had like this general comparison between the laws of Shabbos and the laws of Sukkah. So you might think to say the same way it could work for Shabbos in Hilchos Mavoi, it would work for Sukkah as well. Balav Milsahi. But this is an issue because there, the lechi only works on a durabanan level to solve a durabanan problem. But here, when it comes to sukkah, and the Gemara even points out this distinction in the past, we need a sukkah to operate on a doraisa level. So it's not sufficient to, you know, it's a principle like in Kabbalah Chom, we say, Daya lovim and adin lios kenidom. You can't, if I'm trying to infer a law from A to B, I can't learn more from to B than exists with A. If A only operates on a durabanan level, the lechi only works at durabanan level, I can't extrapolate it to sukkah to solve a doraisa level issue. I just don't, there's not enough ammo over there. It's not potent enough. So what's the answer? So the Rush says, v'yishlomer demairi gisha asa tzuras ha-pesach le'dofen ha-shlishes. This is actually, you have to kind of put in a few words of explanation over here, that really what he's doing is with the third wall is he's creating a tzuras ha-pesach, like we just talked about. He's making a door frame. And he's going according to Shita, and Rav Kahana's consistent. Rav Kahana said, apparently it was on Zion Amad Aleph, that when you need a tzuras ha-pesach, would solve midoraisa sagi la bahaki. That tsuras a pesach encloses an area even on a doraisa level. And the only reason that we cannot suffice with a tsuras a pesach alone, you need a physical additional tefach. You need a tefach shochek, where remember that whole mechanism where basically you have something that's a little bit more than a tefach, and you situate it like 2.9 tefachim from the wall, and that way 2.9 to lavud, and then your tefach is a little bit more than, it's a little more than three, sorry, it's a little more than a tefach, and then you basically get four tefachim out of it, and then you have a majority of a wall, and then it closes the area. That whole mechanism, if you remember it, was all on a Durabanan level. But on a Doraisa level, the Tzuras HaPesach is sufficient. Ah, beautiful. So since we have a Tzuras HaPesach operating on a Doraisa already, so then the only issue we have to obviate here is on a Durabanan level. Elkach, Mahani la nir mi bechutz migud mahani la in Shabbos mani haka kol shiris me sukkah. So now, since we're back to a Durabanan level issue, we can extrapolate from the laws of Shabbos the same way that tefach would work for Shabbos. This tefach would work here, even though it's not scrutable from the inside. So that's how the Rush solves the issue. Yeah, basically that line, I read it over and over again, and then I realized I wasn't the only one who was confused with that line in the Gemara. The Rush was troubled by it. And I was glad that he provided us an answer as well. And I think, just turning back to the Gemara, we have made sufficient headway on Yetzer Samet Aleph. We are halfway down. I need to leave something for us to learn next week. I understand next week is Thanksgiving and people have plans. Unfortunately, there's something going on every other night of the week here at the shul. So generally I try to move things, but I can't. So I'm going to give this year at 7. If you're at a Thanksgiving Suda, I totally understand. It'll be recorded. Maybe the folks at your table want to hear a Gemara Shir. I don't know. But I won't be offended. Everyone has their schedules. So it's not that much we're covering anyway. We already got halfway down Yud Tesamid Aleph, so it's not going to be a lot of catching up, and I'll have it recorded. Does anyone know where to find the recordings if you ever want to listen? Like, do people have access to it? I put it on YouTube, and I put it on YU Torah. You've accessed one of those probably. If anyone wants to get access to the archives you missed this year, like, email me and I'll send you the link. It's out there. Okay, wonderful. Good learning together, everyone, and wishing everyone a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Take care.